Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A Closer Look True Crime Podcast, or welcome if you are new. Today, we're going to be talking about the disappearance of Amy Bradley. This case is very similar to one I talked about a few weeks ago, the Rebecca Corium case, and that is because these are both cruise ship disappearances and possibly cruise ship cover-ups. And one of the main things I talked about in the Rebecca Corium case is just how unsafe cruise ships are, and how many people disappear without a trace on them. So in case you haven't listened to that episode and need a little refresher on just the whole criminal complications of cruise ships, I will insert a little clip of that now. And while looking deeper into this case, I started to realize just how many unsolved disappearances happen on cruise ships. On average, there are 19 reported, keyword is reported, disappearances on cruise ships per year, and only about 4 of those 19 reported cases are rescued. Lots of people go on cruises thinking they are way safer than exploring a foreign country on their own, but they're actually way more dangerous than you'd think. A government report stated that most required safety measures have been implemented on most major cruise ship lines. However, concerns remain about reporting crimes and their ability to share these. Following this statement, 4 of the largest cruise ship companies responded by posting crime stats, which included 9 serious offenses that were previously unreported. In 2013, major cruise lines experienced over 78 crimes. However, this is only a small fraction of the crimes committed, as the majority of crimes committed on these cruise ships aren't reported. By law, they're required to keep a detailed log of all crimes committed, so they do know about them, but aren't obligated to release that information at any time unless it's requested by somebody like the FBI or in court. A former FBI agent even said that after almost every cruise ship entered into this port in New York that he was working at, they would be called down to deal with crimes or criminals aboard, and it was just a whole situation. Another issue with crime aboard cruise ships is that because they are usually sailing through international waters, it is super unclear which police force or organization is supposed to deal with the crimes committed while sailing through these waters. Laws are super murky on cruise ships as well because, as you may know, laws are different in every country, and how to deal with these broken laws is different in every country. So when you're sailing through no one country's water, what laws are they supposed to be following and how are they supposed to be dealing with them? So the majority of the time, cruise ships don't bother to report them, and even if they do, nobody can agree on who is responsible for dealing with these cases. But without further ado, let's get right into today's case. So Amy Bradley was born to her parents, Ron and Iva Bradley. She lived in Virginia and grew up being very, very close with her younger brother, Brad. She had just recently graduated in 1996 from Longwood College and was actually the first person to ever get into Longwood College completely on a full-ride basketball scholarship, so she never had to pay a dime. In 1998, Ron won a cruise trip through his work, and originally he and Iva were just going to go because they won 2 tickets, but they decided to buy tickets so Amy and Brad could go as well. Everyone was starting to get very excited about it. Amy was going tanning in the weeks before, and before they knew it, they had flown to Puerto Rico and were ready to board the ship. Where they were supposed to be boarding the boat, there was quite a few little shops and everything, and Amy decided to purchase a postcard and send it to one of her good friends. On March 21st, 1998, they boarded the Rhapsody of the Seas. It was 11 stories high, 915 feet long, 106 feet wide, weighed 75,000 tons, had 756 crew members on board, and room for 2,435 guests. So it was a huge boat, lots of space, super fun. Their first stop was Aruba, and the Bradleys spent the entire day shopping and exploring in Aruba. And then at the end of the day, they got back on the boat, took showers, went to dinner, and talked about their day. And while they were at dinner, there was one waiter kind of watching and creeping on Amy, and he even ended up asking her if she would go off the boat with him to a club in Aruba that night. She obviously said politely no and never really thought about it again. After dinner, Ron and Iva went to have some drinks with some of Ron's co-workers who had also won cruise tickets, while Brad and Amy explored the boat together. They did some very successful gambling in the casino and met up with their parents on the top deck later that night. The Bradleys then decided to go to the disco and participate in the limbo contest, which Brad actually won. Ron and Iva went to bed shortly after, but Brad and Amy decided to stay. And Amy had kind of been seen talking to a man named Alistair Douglas, who was the bassist in the disco's band that night, and they really seemed to be hitting it off. They were seen in multiple videos dancing together and just having a good time. Ron woke up at 2:45 a.m. and noticed the kids weren't back from the disco yet, so he just went down to check on them, and he saw Brad dancing with some friends and Amy talking to Alistair and the rest of the band, so he figured they're perfectly fine and just went right back up to bed. Then around 3:45 a.m., Brad decided to head back to the hotel, and Amy followed about 15 minutes later. The two sat on the private balcony sun deck and smoked some cigarettes for quite a while. They were planning on jet skiing the next day and were super excited about that. Brad went to bed and Amy said she would be coming in soon. Then shortly after, Ron woke up briefly to ask Amy to turn the light off, which she did. Ron then woke up around 5:30 a.m. and saw Amy's legs on the sun deck, and he thought that maybe she just fell asleep there. But since they would only have to wake up around 30 minutes later to get ready to leave the boat again, he didn't bother waking her up. Then, 30 minutes later, Ron woke up to his alarm and Amy was no longer on the sun deck and her cigarettes and lighter were gone, but her shoes were still there, so wherever she was, she didn't plan on staying long. She had also changed out of her yellow polo shirt into another t-shirt and jeans. Ron thought that maybe she went up to get coffee or to have some breakfast on the top deck to get some fresh air, so when he went to look for her and didn't find her in the suspected spots, he started to do a scan of the whole boat and was becoming more and more panicked as time went on. He had no luck finding Amy and returned to the hotel room in a complete panic. Ira, Ron, and Brad met with the captain to ask him help search and to not let anyone off the boat at their new stop. They had docked in Curacao about 5:30 that morning, but nobody had been let off the boat yet, so if Amy was on the boat that night, and if she was on that morning, she would still be on the boat at this point. The Bradleys begged him to order everyone to their muster stations, which are basically little groups that you get assigned on the boat. So, for example, if my room number was a certain number, then I would go maybe to the casino, and the casino would be my muster station in case of an emergency. It's just like to get everyone together when you're trying to search the boat or you're trying to deal with an emergency. And they just wanted him to search the whole boat top to bottom and not let anyone off because Amy could be abducted somewhere on the boat. But the captain said no because he didn't want to worry any other passengers. The only hint to the rest of the boat that Amy was missing at this point was an announcement at 7:50 a.m. saying, "Amy Bradley, please come to the purser's desk." And that was it. But before that announcement was even made, Alistair, from the band who Amy had been seen talking to, went up to Brad and said, "I'm sorry about your sister," which is extremely weird because the only people that knew that Amy was missing were the captain and the Bradleys, and they had only had discussions about it in the captain's private office, so why would he say that? So the Bradleys continued searching all day without any luck. The captain claimed that he had searched all the rooms and places Amy could be and suggested that they get off the boat in Curacao to search for her because he was personally sure that she wasn't on the boat. So they decided to get off and stay at a hotel while they continued to search for Amy in Curacao. They contacted their family, the U.S. Embassy, and the FBI, and the following day the Curacao authorities launched a huge search for Amy that included planes, ships, divers, everything, but they had no luck. Then the FBI got back to them and informed them that the cruise ship had actually not been fully searched and that the only searched places was the common areas, unlike the captain told him. So they basically just went around the boat a few times, and when they didn't see Amy just drinking coffee somewhere, they said that there was no way she was on the boat, which is obviously not true. The Bradleys were understandably very upset because they had just gotten off the boat thinking Amy was not on it. Like, there was no way she was on it, which was not true. So they decided to fly to St. Thomas, which was the Rhapsody of the Seas' next port, and boarded the ship to confront the captain with the FBI. And as you may know from some of what I mentioned earlier, there isn't really one country set of laws when they're in foreign water. So the cruise ships didn't have to follow the FBI's commands, and they couldn't just board the ship and demand them to let them search it. They actually had to ask permission. Thankfully, the captain said yes, but it had already been days since Amy went missing, and they had no luck finding her in their search. They even brought in search dogs, checked all the rooms and off-limit areas, but they didn't find anything, and at this point, they didn't even know what country Amy could be in by now. However, the FBI did hand out photos of Amy and inform the entire boat on her disappearance, asking anyone to come forward that had any info. And almost immediately, two girls came forward and said that they had seen Amy go to the disco that morning with Alistair around 5:30 a.m. So not only did Alistair make this weird comment about Amy, but he was also seen with her that morning and was denying it. So the FBI brought him in for a polygraph test and interviewed him. He passed just fine. But as I mentioned many, many times before, polygraph tests can be wrong. When he was being interviewed, the whole story of events for him changed. He said that he never saw Amy that day or talked to any of the Bradleys, including Brad. A little while later, the family requested to look at the ship's photos, which, if you didn't know, on most large cruise ships, they have photographers that kind of go around and just capture moments in hopes that you'll buy them at the end of the cruise. But all the photos tagged under Amy's guest number were missing, and it wasn't like this was a common thing because nobody else's photos were missing, and they had no idea how this could have happened, because it's something that literally has never happened to this photographer specifically, and it's very, very rare. So at this point, the Bradleys started to believe that this was some sort of organized sex trafficking conspiracy, and somebody had seen Amy, plotted the whole thing, wiped the pictures, and covered the whole thing up. And once the Bradleys returned home, they immediately got right back to finding Amy, because once the cruise ship docked back in Puerto Rico, there was literally nothing they could do. They were kind of just stuck, so they went home. They launched a nationwide campaign to bring attention to Amy's case, did interviews, and handed out flyers everywhere. And shortly after doing this, a Spanish-speaking taxi driver, who had actually given the Bradleys a taxi ride from the airport to the Rhapsody of the Seas dock on their way there, said that he saw Amy being taken off the boat by a man and forced into a cab once they reached Puerto Rico on their way back. And if this is true, that means that Amy had been on the boat for 4 days and had somehow been missed in a huge search before being taken off. And there's obviously no way to verify if this is actually true, but this man swears on his life and he didn't get anything out of it. So he said, like, why would I lie? I literally got nothing out of it. And there's a very good possibility he could be telling the truth. So the Bradley family gave this tip to their team at the FBI, only to find out 8 months later that they never followed up or did anything with that lead. So at this point, they were so fed up and nobody was helping them that they decided to start looking for outside help. In April, they even went back to the islands to look for her themselves. And at one point, Brad had even chased down a car because he thought he heard Amy's voice come from it, but it ended up being some other woman. Then a man named David Carmichael came forward. He was a wealthy Canadian who was scuba diving on one of the islands at this time, and he said that when he was cleaning his scuba gear one time, he saw a woman walking with two men close behind her, and when this woman heard him speak English, she picked up her pace and started running towards David and away from the two men that were walking behind her. But before she could say anything, the two men caught up with her and kind of pulled her into a nearby cafe. So David was kind of weirded out, and he followed them into the cafe and spotted a scar on the woman's right shin and many tattoos that Amy did actually have in real life, but he never got a chance to speak with her before they just kind of vanished and left the cafe. Eventually, the family found a Special Forces private investigator named Frank Jones that claimed he would be able to help extract Amy from the human trafficking ring he believed she was in. He spent a lot of time and a lot of money that Ron's boss was supplying, staking out clubs, and was even able to get a photo of a woman who looked a lot like Amy and had similar tattoos. Eventually, after asking for more and more money, Frank said that he had found Amy and was ready to extract her, but he just needed $100,000. And Ron's boss said that he would be happy to give them this money too, but he wanted someone to make sure that Frank was legit before he gave him such a large sum of money. And it's a good thing that they checked, because it turned out Frank Jones was a complete scam. He had sent fake photos of somebody dressed up as Amy with fake tattoos on them, was drinking on their dime, and just wasting their money traveling these islands, which is just so horrible. Like, who would do this to this family? This family just cannot catch a break. I feel like they just struggled so much with getting help throughout the entire case, and I feel so sad for them. And after this point, there were a few more potential sightings. A naval officer said that he was at a brothel and a woman working there had come up to him and said, "My name is Amy, please get help, tell somebody I'm Amy Bradley," but he didn't really even know what this meant. He kind of just thought it was a joke for some reason, so he didn't go to police with the information until 2 years later when they were asking for information once again and he happened to see that they were asking for it. So by the time that they actually got to this brothel, it had been burnt down and Amy was obviously no longer working there, so this lead went cold. Then years later, the Bradleys were anonymously sent a photo of a prostitute website in the Caribbean that was definitely Amy in the photo. So this pretty much confirmed Amy was in sex trafficking, and a forensic detective even bet his career that was Amy in the photo. They tried to track the IP address, but they didn't have any luck, and this lead kind of went cold like all the others. Then in 2005, a woman named Judy and her husband went on the same Rhapsody of the Seas cruise, and while they were docked, they decided to go shopping. And Judy was in a department store bathroom when she heard a distressed woman and an angry man enter the bathroom. Judy wasn't really sure what she was going to do about this. She didn't really know what was going on, so she kind of hid in her stall until she heard the man say, "This is my deal. The deal's at 11 o'clock. You better be ready. Don't mess this up for me," and everything like that. Eventually, the man left, and she decided to exit the stall and saw the woman, like, on the verge of tears, crouched over the sink, and she asked her what her name was, and she very softly said, "Amy." And Judy said, "Oh, my daughter's name is Amy," in a regular voice level, and this really upset the woman. She kind of walked up to her and, like, made a face at her as if she was trying to get her to be quiet, and then walked out of the bathroom. Judy went out behind her, and there were four men waiting for the woman outside, but unfortunately, this lead never got them anywhere either. So obviously, the most likely theory is that Amy was abducted by somebody, most likely Alistair, and put into sex trafficking where police believe she still is today. But people have also questioned whether she jumped or was pushed off the boat. There is a possibility she was pushed off the boat by someone, but that doesn't explain all of the sightings, the online pictures, everything like that. Like, it just doesn't make sense. She also wasn't depressed or struggling to anyone's knowledge and was actually in a very good point in her life. She had plans for the next day and the rest of the trip. She had just graduated. She was starting at pretty much her dream job when they returned home. And she even had a new puppy waiting for her at home that she was super excited to go love and take care of. Amy was also very scared of falling off the boat and just generally the deep ocean. Even though she was a trained lifeguard, she would stay far, far away from the railings and was very cautious on the top deck. So it just doesn't seem like she would have just tripped and fallen off the boat. The Bradleys ended up suing the cruise line for negligence, and to this day they are still looking for new leads and offering reward money for anyone who has a lead that could help them find her and actually leads to her being found. The FBI released a video going over the case info and everything that they had so far in 2017, as well as some new age progression photos, which I will post on my Instagram. The link is in the description. Personally, I do believe that this was a sex trafficking conspiracy. It just seems way too covered up. And I still stand my point that cruises can be really scary and that we need more specific laws and procedures for situations like this because they just keep happening and nobody's doing anything about it. But anyways, thank you all so much for listening. Make sure to check out my Instagram post dedicated to Amy Bradley's case. The link is in the description. And I hope to see you next Monday for another episode on A Closer Look True Crime Podcast.